Access to high-speed internet service, or broadband, is increasingly seen by many policymakers as a necessity for community vitality. However, rural areas continue to lag behind the rest of the country. The Center for Rural Strategies in Whitesburg just released a report examining the effects of expanding broadband to rural areas throughout the U.S.
We just commissioned a study. It was led by Sharon Strover from the University of Texas, and it involved a number of economists and technologists from around the country. What they basically came up with is, look, if you're a rural area or a small town and you get full broadband, well, that's not a guarantee to economic success. But if you don't have it, that's pretty close to a guarantee that you're going to be left behind. That means their kids are going to have a harder time competing in school because they're not going to be able to get their lessons in the same way. It means that health reform's not going to work for you because you're not going to have all the advantages of telemedicine. And it sure means that you're not going to be able to bring your goods and services to market or get the best price on what you have to purchase.
That was Dee Davis, president of the Center for Rural Strategies. In 2009, the Obama administration and Congress allocated significant stimulus funds towards increasing broadband access in underserved areas. Mountain Telephone in West Liberty was the first to receive USDA stimulus funds in Kentucky. Lisa Fannin is marketing director for the cooperative.
We serve around 12,500 actual co-op members with over 17,000 access lines, and we were fortunate enough to receive a portion of the broadband stimulus funding, which totaled a little over $78 million. 38,000.3 of that was grant money, and then $39.8 million was actual loan that we will be expected to pay back. Our need for that money was for the Fiber to the Home project. Our area covers Wolf, Elliott, Menifee, and Morgan counties. We're definitely considered rural. Very few major highways going in. We have great schools. We have great universities. But at the same time, it's hard for some of our rural people, you know, to get out and travel. Maybe some of them have families. Maybe they don't have, means to pay a babysitter to go to school. So they can do things, you know, their classes online. Also work. There is a new initiative called Distance Earning, and they have actually got a program right now that if our people have good internet access, they can find jobs, and they will hook them up with jobs nationwide. And it's amazing how many jobs are out there and how many companies want to hire people in our area that will let them work from home. And it's a wonderful project, but it's not got off the ground good yet like it should. And I think that's what makes this, the stimulus, the broadband funding, so important.
Some critics question the value of government investment in extending broadband infrastructure, saying this should be left to the private sector. But rural advocates suggest these kinds of incentives are critical. Dee Davis.
If the markets were going to prioritize investment in rural broadband, they already would have done it. There's been a huge amount of investment. But most of that keeps going to the suburbs. What we got to know that the market left to its own devices is going to go where the money is. What we need to do is to make sure that rural areas can compete. What I think we have to do at times is create some incentives to jumpstart the market. And so there is some room for government or public sector to be part of that.
In the recent federal budget negotiations, Republican members of the House Committee on Appropriations, led by Chairman Hal Rogers, proposed fully defunding the USDA's Broadband Access Loan Program. Christopher Mitchell of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance explains the importance of this program for communities seeking to build their telecommunications infrastructure.
Basically, it was a program that was offering loans typically to co-ops around the country in rural areas so they could build the networks that are needed. And so they're typically very long-term loans, and it's a program that has been fairly successful in terms of making sure that folks out in, for instance, northwest Minnesota. There's a lot of folks that have access to broadband specifically because of that program. And so because we're in a situation where we would rather, I think, cut funding for the infrastructure of the future rather than possibly raise taxes on a minority of people, we're looking at the loss of that program.
You know, I feel like that people that make those decisions probably are not people that realize what rural means. They don't realize that there's some people, you know, that maybe are live so far out or are in such rural areas that, you know, they take for granted running to the store. We have people that maybe do that once a week just to the grocery store. So I don't think they can understand what it would mean for the people to be able to actually to work from home, to do their shopping from home.
Again, Lisa Fannin of the Mountain Telephone Rural Cooperative. As the future of this program is debated in Washington, Fannin worries what its loss would mean for rural America.
We're very thankful for the opportunity, you know, that the stimulus, that the grant, the loan, and everything has given us, because if we did not have access to this money, a project like what we've taken on would just be impossible. And I think it would be such a shame for other companies that are rural as well, you know, to not be able to participate in something like that for their people.
With Mimi Pickering, I'm Sylvia Ryerson, reporting for WMMT in Whitesburg.